Mad Pipe Madcast.
Welcome to the Mad Pipe Madcast, where we talk about marketing strategy and bring marketing insights to businesses and nonprofits. I'm Daniel DeGree, your host, and today my guest is Lori Jimatis. Lori works in social media. Lori, can you first just talk a minute about what you do?
Sure. Hi, Daniel. I am a social media marketing strategist with my company that I founded in 2014, Vetricom Social Media Strategy. And one of the main things that I do is helping businesses develop a consistent and flexible and effective social media strategy. This includes identifying, business goals, target audiences, the correct social media platforms where they want to maintain a strong presence, and essentially developing a strategy around creating the best type of content, interacting with their community, and how it all plays in with their larger marketing goals.
Let me ask you a little bit about some things that I think our audience thinks about in social media. So I hear this phrase a lot, people doing social media. I'm going to do social media. I'm going to hire somebody to do social media. How do we do social media is a common question. And it always makes me think of people that sort of say, we did China. What did you do? Did you visit the wall? Did you live there for a year and live among the people? So do you struggle with this as well, that there's a perception about what it takes to be effective in social media that's often confused?
Absolutely. A lot of people don't really understand what a social media manager or a social media strategist really does. And by doing social media, there's a lot of misconception that it's basically just posting randomly. Even if it's on a regular schedule, just putting content out there without really thinking about it beforehand. But really, there's so much more than that. One of the most important things to take into consideration when doing social media strategy is knowing your audience from the inside out. There's a misconception that it's all about the business who is on social media and it's all about them. But really, it's about your audience. Quote-unquote, to do social media really means to know your audience and to create the content that they want.
Well, so what is wrong exactly with the way that most people do social media or create the content that others want? It seems that a lot of people really struggle with doing it the wrong way. What are they doing wrong?
Well, a lot of companies do it the wrong way because they don't really know who they're talking to on social media. They think they do, but they really haven't done the research, and they really just don't have a clear understanding of who their audience is. And that's one of the biggest mistakes you can make. There's a lot of ways for you to get insights on your audience using the social media platforms themselves. For example, you can use Twitter to get insights into your industry. If you're a business-to-business company, then you can find out what people in similar industries are talking about. You can find out what they're interested in and join the conversation and even lead new conversations to get involved. You can do things such as searching hashtags, and all of these things will give you the insight you need to really find out what's important to your audience, and that's essentially what helps guide you to deciding how to put quality content on social media. So essentially, The only wrong thing you can do on social media, well, the most important wrong thing you can do on social media is to put content out there that is not relevant. Because if it's not relevant to who you're trying to reach, then you're not going to see any results.
So this challenge of finding relevance, isn't it more than relevance? I mean, relevance merely means that, if I'm a plumber and you put out plumbing content, yes, it's relevant to me, but that doesn't make me necessarily want to read it or interact with it in some way. So I'm wondering if there's another layer there, maybe not being personally involved. I see a lot of people sort of outsourcing their social media to companies or to vendors or to some social media manager, or they have somebody in the office like, oh yeah, we have our 20-year-old do it. And it's like, do what? And they seem to not be engaged. They'll say, oh, I've never actually looked at our Twitter account. Are there some drawbacks to that? Is that costly? Is that a wrong thing too?
Absolutely. One of the drawbacks to not being involved in your own social media, even if you do outsource it as a company, the fact of the matter is that even though you're a business, people connect with other people. They want to see the humans behind this operation. On social networking, you know, people aren't necessarily interested in connecting with a brand. So the purpose of social media is not only to be relevant, but also to be personable, to add a humanization element to it. You know, the thing is that things such as personal photos, you know, using humor, different types of really, you know, think about it as connecting with one of your friends on social media. Essentially, you want to portray your business as just another person and to let people see that insight, you know, behind the scenes things. That can really pique their interest and keep them engaged and keep them involved in the content that you're putting out on social media.
Well, some people seem to think that, they will say, I don't want to engage my larger audience. I don't really want to deal with all the individual people there. I don't want to chat back and forth, etc. So what do you say to those people that say, hey, look, that's too much contact for me?
Well, it's, you know, with social media, the more you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it. If you can put out, you know, 100 posts a day on Twitter, but if you're not actually interacting with anyone, they're not really going to see the point of reaching out to you again. Say, you know, at first you get a lot of response to posts you're putting out, and you never respond to them. So, what's their benefit of connecting with you again in the future if they know that, you know, there's not going to be any real interaction, any real conversation. So my advice to anyone who, you know, doesn't want to make the commitment or, you know, put in the time for it is that essentially you're building a community. And it's just like maintaining, you know, say a real life friendship, is that you get out of it what you put into it. And keeping the dialogue going, keeping the conversation going is really very important. And so I think it's a worthy investment of time, of funds if you're hiring someone else to do it, definitely to stay engaged with your audience.
Let me ask you this. A lot of people are playing games with their social media, and I don't mean Farmville. I mean that they're playing the I have 10,000 followers game. And so is it, you know, and I get why they're doing it. Oh, well, if I have a lot of followers, people will see that and they'll think I'm worth following. So it's a self-image thing. And I want to ask you, is it really true that if people see your number of followers, they're more likely to become one?
To an extent, but not as much as you might think. I think that one of the worst things that a business can do is to buy numbers on social media. You do not need to purchase thousands and thousands of followers, because one of the things that will do is it'll actually take away from the real followers who actually do care about your business and your brand. You know, the numbers game is, you know, if you have several thousand followers, you know, one of the things at first glance when I look at your page, let's say, you know, I'm following a social media influencer and I see, you know, many of them have, you know, 250,000 followers. So that immediately signals to me that, well, this person probably is really worth following. But the thing is, if those are all fake or bought followers who really have nothing to do with the brand, or, you know, the reason they had to buy followers is because they're not putting out quality content, I'm going to pick up on that really fast, and I'm not going to stick around as a follower.
So that's the thing, is the people think you can get away with one inauthenticity, it won't matter. Like, oh, I bought all these followers, but I'm really a good company. And the truth is you can't fake authenticity. It comes out.
Exactly.
So if you were that inauthentic that you bought followers, the quality of your content is going to be not very good either. And you can't just outsource that and say, oh, that's okay, I've hired somebody to produce really good content. How do you know it's really good? If it's not really engaging your audience in a personal way, then it isn't good. It may be good from some, you know, objective criteria in terms of it's not poorly written. But how do you know, if you're not interacting with people, if you don't want to touch the plebeian masses, then, you know, the truth is you're probably not going to be that effective. And that brings up the issue of return on investment, ROI. You know, followers, frankly, do not generate return on investment. You can have an unlimited number of followers, and getting more followers does not necessarily translate into more dollars for the company. In the same way, getting more likes does not. A like is a pat on the back. So somebody giving you a thumbs up, I like this, just means good job, buddy. And we can do that totally without any personal or emotional involvement with one of our friends. The only thing that really generates value is when people either engage the brand directly or share your brand with other people. Mm-hmm. They reshare what you're putting out. So why is it so hard for companies to show any ROI on social media? They continue to pour dollars into it, and they assume that there's money there to be made. Somehow there's got to be a way to reach people. Everyone else is doing it, so therefore I should do it. But why is it so hard for those companies to actually see a return?
Well, one of the misconceptions about social media is, in terms of ROI, people expect it to be, you know, clear and dry, and, you know, you can see the numbers, they're right there, but you have to be a little more creative with it. One of the common misconceptions about social media is that it's meant to be kind of a last-click sales vehicle, which usually is not the case. There are definitely circumstances, say if you're a retail brand, you know, there are things like platforms like Instagram and Pinterest are just now rolling out, you know, call-to-action buttons where you can actually, you know, purchase something in one click. So that's an exception. But for most brands, it's part of an overall strategy in building brand awareness, and which is, you know, the top of your sales funnel, not the bottom. So essentially, you start with your brand awareness, and there are there's some social media tools that you can use to measure ROI. You know, one of the major ones is Google Analytics. You can see where your web traffic is coming from. You can measure conversions. Depending on what kind of company you are, maybe a conversion to you is a sale if you're an online retailer or even, you know, a brick-and-mortar retailer. So you can take a look at your sales and look at your analytics, who's going to your website, who's engaging with your brand, and see if that's going up in tandem with your sales. Another thing you can do is track your links. So, you know, one of the most popular link tracking tools is Bitly. So you can create personalized links. You can track where they're coming from, where this traffic is coming from. Another great thing you can use is a specific landing page. You can put together, you know, these really beautiful sales pages that you only share on social media. So anything that comes from that is obviously as a result of your social media marketing efforts. There's a lot of tools you can use for online payments. So, you know, like I said, with the Instagram and Pinterest rolling out the, you know, buy now buttons. So that's a very clean cut way to measure some ROI. Another way to measure ROI is using certain advertisements, especially on Facebook. One of the ads you can use on Facebook is a conversion tracking advertisement. So essentially, you can create this pixel that you can place on your website, any desired area. It can be, you know, if you're a retailer, it can be a checkout bag. Like I said before, a conversion could be signing up for a newsletter. A conversion can be anything you want. And so for your ROI measuring, you can find out exactly the results that you got from that particular advertisement. So those are basically some of the main ways that you can start to measure ROI. But as a social media strategist, I will say that it's trickier than other forms of marketing because it's usually not just a simple solution. You have to get a little more creative with it.
I think there's another aspect to it, too. I mean, you know, you can get statistics directly out of the social media platform itself, and there are tools that will compile those statistics. So Facebook Insights, Twitter has good stats, Pinterest has stats for business. But I think what people have done is they've misconstrued what social media is. So it's not the same thing as an email. The idea of an email is I send an email, it has an offer, somebody responds, I measure that in terms of the number of people that responded and the number of people that completed the offer, and I'm done. With social media, I think what's new is people who try to treat it that way are woefully unsuccessful. And they tell the horror stories about how we dumped all this money into social media. And when you look, there's always one of these inauthenticities. Mm-hmm. But they're viewing it wrong. It's not A to B. A to B is, I'm riding the subway train, I ask you for money, and you give me money.
Exactly.
The guys that I give money to are the guys that perform a service. They, you know, I'm not going to give to every busker out there, but if they entertain me and they offer something of value like that, and I stop and pay attention to it and spend time with it, then I'm going to tip them, just like I would tipping a waitress. And the guys that just stick their hand out, I don't give them anything because they're not offering me anything in return. They're thinking A to B. The other guy's thinking A to B to C, or even A to B to C to D sometimes. And that's what social media is. You have to sort of engage your audience and think about the fact that you're building a relationship first. And you have to be real and authentic about that. not just, well, the only reason I'm really building a relationship for it with you is to get money.
Exactly. And you know what, that's actually a wonderful analogy. And you know, the A to D thinking is really what stumps a lot of business owners. And you know, they have a hard time with the concept of, you know, why am I putting money into this if it's not, you know, going to give me direct sales right now? Well, the thing is that, you know, the main function of social media is to build relationships. And like you said, that's what eventually gets you the sale that you're looking for. But it's not just a, you know, an immediate thing. It takes time, it takes effort, and it's an ongoing investment. It's not something you just throw money at and, you know, do for a few months and then just kind of let it ride out from there. It's an ongoing investment, and you really do need to, there's really no shortcut to do the work and build a quality audience who will hopefully eventually turn into paying customers.
Yeah, you know, I think there's also a sustainability aspect to this. You know, the idea is somebody will say, well, why don't I start with the thing that's going to generate the most return on investment now and focus on social media later? And so, of course, the fast lane is advertising, where it's a lot of capital going into it. For instance, PR, serious PR, takes a lot of capital going into it. And the rate of return and sales, sales and advertising in particular, you can get immediate results. If you call somebody up, or you hit them with an ad, you can immediately get a sale.
Right.
Of course, there's an enormous cost to doing it. And the moment you turn off that spigot, you stop funding it, everything drops to zero. If that's your whole marketing plan, you're dead in the water because you had a momentary fluctuation in how much money you could put out. Where with social media, you know, you build up social credibility, you build up an audience, and you sustain and feed that audience over time. And therefore, it's much more forgiving. And also, you're not just sort of losing it every day. The difference between social media and other types of marketing is social media is much more like owning a house, and sales and advertising are much more like renting. You're just throwing the same amount every month at it, and in exchange for what you get. With owning a social media audience, if you will, you're building up something that's going to last you for a long time. You can continue to love and use.
Exactly. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, one of the best things about social media is that you can not only get one-time customers and you can generate, you know, a larger client base through social media, but you also have the aspect of customer retention. You're building brand awareness, you're generating leads, you build your relationship with those people, you build credibility, you stay on top of their mind. That's when you can really kind of dive in and, you know, do your offers, your discounts, or, you know, do your company call to actions to really try and actually get that sale. And so once people get really involved with your company, then you can maintain it by just staying on top of mind, continuing to put out great content, and maintaining that relationship with them. And so that's how you build brand advocacy.
There's also a tendency to treat social media almost on a machine model. And I'm always sort of counseling people against this. You know, the idea of a machine model is you sort of flip a switch and you get a certain result. And that's sort of like A-B thinking, but it's a little bit different. So the machine model focuses heavily on rules. So you hear all of these social media gurus throwing you rule after rule after rule, and everybody's like, I don't know if I'm doing it right. The moment I hear somebody say, am I doing social media right? I say, well, that presumes that it's a template that you can just borrow from another company and use. So someone will say, only post a maximum of twice a week on Facebook and never post the same content to Facebook and Twitter. And I'm like, you know, is that always true? My feeling is once you start making one-size-fits-all rules like that, you really rule out the ability to do any kind of strategic customization for that company's needs, its budget, who its audience is, and the significance of what it has to say.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right with that. And, you know, it's, of course, there's guidelines, there are best practices that you can use, you know, just as a kind of a base point when you're doing your social media marketing. But ultimately, each individual business has completely different needs, and the only rules are there really are no rules. So if a social media guru tells you that you that every business should post to Facebook 3 times a day at 9 a.m., at 3 p.m., and at 8 p.m., then you should absolutely take that with a huge grain of salt, because that's just, it's simply not true. The best time for you to post is when your audience is online. And that's different for everybody.
It really is. There are tools to analyze that, in fact, that tell us when a particular audience is online.
Exactly. And, you know, it's extremely helpful, especially, you know, Facebook is really the leader with it, but Twitter analytics, Pinterest analytics, they've all, you know, been rolled out these past couple of years, and they're extremely helpful because they give you the insights that you need to know when your audience is online and what they're talking about and what they're interested in. So, for example, if you go to, if you're a manager of a Facebook page and you go to the insights, you can actually narrow it down by every single day of the week when the most people are online. And so you can use that, your individual insights for your Facebook page, and you can use that as a guideline for when to post. However, what you need to do also is not just take that at face value, because you need to experiment and you need to try it out. So maybe it will be that you'll get the most engagement if you post, let's say that your Facebook insights say that the majority of your audience is online at 12 o'clock noon. So you post at 12 noon and it turns out maybe you don't get as much engagement as you want. So maybe it helps if you, next time you can try out posting at 11:45 a.m. so that, you know, by the time your audience is online, your content is right there waiting for them. Maybe, you know, they won't miss it. So you really have to experiment, and it might not be an exact science.
Well, this has been a really interesting conversation, Lori. There's a lot that I would like to pick your brain on in addition. But I want to close down with just one more question.
Sure.
I wonder if you could sort of outline quickly if the best practices aren't just a set of fixed template rules for everybody. Then there must be another set of best practices that are more best practices in terms of principles rather than rules. And I wonder if you can sort of comment on what those are. What are the principles of authentic, effective use of social media?
I would say that your social media strategy is the single most important thing that you can do to guarantee success on social media. So you can't just go in there blind. You need to identify your business goals. You need to set your objectives for your social media strategy. You need to, this is one of the most important things, you need to identify your audience and really get to know them. You need to experiment because it's not one size fits all. You need to try different things. And oftentimes, you know, I've had personally in my experience, you know, you can be extremely surprised by what works and what doesn't. But it does take time. You have to kind of lay the groundwork and feel your way into it a little bit. But having a solid strategy really is one of the most important things. You need to say, know what your competition is doing. You can look, you know, there's no shame looking and seeing what's working for them and what's not. And you need to, one of the things that a lot of businesses do is they try to spread themselves too thin and be on each and every social network, but you really don't need to be. So it's, again, it's not a one-size-fits-all. You need to determine, based on your audience, which platforms you should be on, and using that, determine the type of content you're going to put out. And so it really is completely different for each and every business.
You've been listening to the MadPipe Marketing Madcast, where we talk about marketing strategy and bring marketing insights to businesses and nonprofits. For more information from Lori Jimatis, visit her website for Vetricom, where she can talk more about social media to your heart's delight. And for marketing strategy and info on MadPipe, visit MadPipe.com. Also, to get more episodes like this, visit MadPipe.com/podcast or just find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Thank you, Lori. It's been wonderful to have you on the show.
Thank you, Daniel.
The MadPipe Madcast.